In study, it was only the Holy Spirit that enabled me to know what to give out in this lesson. Because this speaks of Jesus, I found myself going off in all different directions. I was using Mom's Names of God notebook that she gave lessons from. Wow, I could have just spent my study time in that book. But she reminded me, you got to stay with the lesson. So we're going to stay with the lesson because the Holy Spirit has enabled me to study the lesson. Deuteronomy 18, and I would like to read verses 15 to 19. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. This is not light. This is God speaking. This is God speaking to Moses, speaking of his son. This portion here is a messianic prophecy of Jesus Christ. It's a promise that Jesus was going to come as the prophet, as the priest, and as the king. We want to notice that this word prophet is capitalized. Everywhere else we read of the prophets, it's lowercase. This is capitalized. It speaks of Jesus. We referred to it as a messianic prophecy. I looked up what Messiah or messianic means. In both the Hebrew and the Greek, it means the anointed one. That is Christ. His name, Jesus Christ. Christ is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. It was therefore in this character as prophet that Jesus the Messiah had been promised, predicted, and looked for by many. We have it predicted here as a prophet in Deuteronomy 18:15 and in 18:18. We also have it in Acts 3. I would like to turn there. We'll be coming back to Acts 3. Acts 3, and I would like to read verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet, and this should be a capital P, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And then we need to turn over to chapter 7 of Acts 7 and the 37th verse. This is when Stephen rehearsed his message to the Pharisees. He brings this in also, Acts 7, 37. This is that Moses. He talked of him, let's begin in verse 35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge, the same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet, again this is speaking of Jesus, shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. We'll notice in these verses, in verses 15 and verses 18, that the Lord thy God, notice in verse 15 it says, the Lord thy God, we know this is Jehovah. Then in verse 18, Jehovah speaking again, I will raise them up a prophet. Both state that this was Jehovah's doing. Man had nothing to do with it. Man didn't choose this one, and this one would speak on behalf of Jehovah. The distinction of this prophet was by direct call. God called this prophet, and God qualified him. Think of Paul. God called Paul. God qualified Paul in order to give out the truth that was given to him. He was qualified because God made him qualified, just as he did with Moses here, and then looking forward to Jesus. The meaning of a prophet. A prophet is one who speaks forth or openly, a proclaimer of a divine message, one who has had or has immediate intimacy with God. They're on speaking terms. There is nothing held back from either one. Generally speaking, a prophet was one upon whom the message of God springs forth. A prophet was the one whom the word of the Lord came to. I'm prophesying to you tonight. I'm not telling of the future other than what is in the word. That is what a prophet does. He speaks the word of the Lord. Okay, let's look at Amos 3:7. And we're going to look at some of these prophets that God qualified. He called and he qualified to give out the message that he had them to give out. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. This word secret here, I liked it. He revealeth his secret. This is a sitting together in some secret council on some affairs of great importance. Mom gave this out when she gave out the book of Amos. Revealeth his secrets, I'll give this again, has the thought of a sitting together. God and the prophets sat together in some secret council on some affairs of great importance. I would like to go through very quickly, beginning with Jeremiah, and I will show, and if you get your Strong's out, you can run these references yourself. Each one of these prophets in the word, God called, and he came to them, and he gave them what he wanted them to speak. In Jeremiah 1:4, this is Jeremiah's call. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. The very word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Jeremiah had quite a prophecy to give out. Let's look at Ezekiel 1:3. Ezekiel, he too was called of God. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly. Notice that word expressly. Unto Ezekiel the prophet, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Now we could go through each one of these minor prophets that Mom took us through Hosea, clear to Malachi. Each chapter opens up, and the word of the Lord came to them. They were called of God. We can remember the prophecies that each one gave out was different, but it pertained to the nation Israel. It pertained to what is coming, and God is the only one that knows what is coming, because he's planned it before the foundation of the world. Now let's look at this prophet that Moses is speaking about. This prophet that Moses is speaking of is looking forward to Jesus Christ. Not just as a prophet, we see him saying, we'll raise up a prophet. Well, not only a prophet, but a priest and a king. These other two offices aren't directly prophesied here, but they are all brought together, each one to be filled by Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to Romans 5. Why did God send a prophet, priest, and king all rolled up into Jesus? Man needed it. Romans 5. Romans 5 and the 12th verse. Wherefore, as by one man, and we know that one man was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Sin brought a separation between man and God. The relationship was cut. It was severed. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every one of them. Every baby that's born into this world has sin in its heart. It needs to be brought to God. As a result of the fall, clear back there in Genesis, man was separated from God. Sin separated him. We know the only way that man was brought back was by the sacrifice of that offering. Those skins, they had to be taken off that lamb, off the sacrifice. The blood had to be shed. The communion was reestablished. But before that, there were three basic needs that man had as a sinner. And they could only be met by one, who combines in himself this threefold office of prophet, priest, and king. And that is only Jesus. He is the only one that could meet the needs of fallen man as prophet, as priest, and king. The prophet here, as prophet, he was to instruct and inform. He spoke the words that God gave him. When he came to earth, he did exactly and said exactly as his father instructed him. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at some of these. Jesus knew how dependent he was upon his father. He couldn't do anything without his father. Let's turn to John 7. Jesus was God's prophet. He spoke for God. Chapter 7 and the 16th verse. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Let's turn over to chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Let's look at chapter 12, 49. And I pray that is the desire of each of us here tonight. We desire to do what pleases him. John 12, and we'll begin with verse 49. "Now think a moment. Jesus was equal with his Father in past eternity. When he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant, he became dependent upon his Father." Talk about humbling. He could do nothing but what his Father told him. In verse 49, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Let's look over at chapter 14 and the 10th verse. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Let's look at verses 23 and 24. "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Then in chapter 17 and the 8th verse, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Notice each time Jesus, he is a servant even to his Father. He's learning obedience. I think of Hebrews 5:8, "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience." Then he is a priest. Jesus became a priest. We know it is said that he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Let's turn to Hebrews 7. He was much higher than the Aaronic priesthood. Hebrews 7, and I would like to begin with the 21st verse. Speaking of the priest of the Aaronic priesthood, "For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, and I have a note that, but this man Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice. Remember, those Aaronic priests had to go in, and they had to make sacrifice, looking forward to Jesus, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. He is our priest. He's ever making intercession for us. I think of Hebrews 4:15, that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. This priest knows what we're going through. This high priest has experienced everything we experience, yet he didn't yield to the temptation. What better high priest can one have? Then he is also king. As a king, he's going to subdue and he's going to control. Let's look at Hebrews 10. And that is coming very, very quickly. Hebrews 10, and we see him here as the priest. We also see him as the future king. We'll begin with the 9th verse. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting. This is what he's looking forward to. He's expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's when he's going to be king. Those enemies are going to be at his feet. They're going to be groveling. They're going to be defeated under his feet. Then let's look at Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is going to rule as king. He is going to bring everything under his control. Let's look back at Deuteronomy 18. It says in verse 15 and in verse 18 that this prophet, priest, and king is going to come out from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. This is speaking of the nation Israel. He came out of Israel. I would like to go back to Genesis 49 of the prophecy of where he was coming from after the flesh. Genesis 49. Remember, he's a priest, but he didn't come of the line of Aaron. He came of the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49, and I would like to begin with the 8th verse. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. We can see Jesus right here. We can see him. His hand's going to be in the neck of his enemies. Thy father's children will bow down before thee. Verse 9, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter, and this is speaking of Christ, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal under the vine, and his ass's colt under the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Let's turn to Matthew 21. This binding his foal under the vine and his ass's colt. We see him here as king. Matthew 21, and beginning with verse 2, Matthew 21, verse 2. We know Matthew portrays Jesus as the king. Verse 2, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. We know this is the bride with Jesus, because they reign together. Now let's go to Micah. The prophet Micah, chapter 5. Here in Micah we have the prophecy that Jesus will be ruler, again king. Micah 5 and the second verse. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, or Bethlehem Judah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. None other but Jesus Christ. Let's look in John 7, the Gospel of John again. John 7, and I would like to begin with the 40th verse. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said, that Christ cometh out of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? I want you to notice that Christ, the prophet, this is what they thought of him. They knew he was coming. Christ here again means anointed. Or you could read this is the Messiah. That Messiah cometh of the seed of David. Christ meaning anointed, Messiah meaning anointed. I would like to turn back to chapter 1 of John. How they referred to Jesus. As I said, they knew a prophet was coming. They had been told. They couldn't plead ignorance. They knew a prophet was coming. Moses told them. Chapter 1, and notice how they referred to him. John 1, 21. And they asked him, what then? Art thou, speaking about John the Baptist, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then in verse 25, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Then over in verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Then let's look at 6:14 of John. This was the feeding of the 5,000. Chapter 6 and the 14th verse. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. That prophet. Now in this verse in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking that he's going to be like unto me. We read that also in Acts 7:37, that it was foretold that Jesus would be, this prophet would be like unto Moses. Well, Moses was a type of Christ in being a prophet and a priest and a king. So Jesus was like Moses. As a prophet, Moses was divinely called by God. Let's turn to Exodus 3. Moses heard God's voice. In Exodus 3, we read In verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then we read down here in verse 9. It would be good to read those verses in between. In verse 9, Jehovah speaking, Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God personally called Moses as his prophet. And all through, let's turn to Exodus 5. Moses spoke on God's behalf. He was God's prophet to Pharaoh. Moses delivered God's personal message. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Moses is God's mouthpiece. That's all a prophet is a mouthpiece. They don't read the future. Like, I know of a woman that before she got married, someone prayed over her and said, Oh, great things are going to happen. Well, nothing happened, and she was kind of discouraged. A prophet is one that expounds God's word. God used Moses to admonish and to warn Pharaoh of what was going to happen to him if he did not let the people go. Also, Moses, he is the one that gave the children of Israel God's law. They didn't want to talk to him directly, so God used Moses. And we'll get to that here. Also, Moses interceded. He was a priest between God and the children of Israel. He interceded for them many, many times. What does a priest do? What does Jesus do for us? He intercedes for us. He is our go-between. And this is what Moses was. Let's turn to Exodus 24. We'll see he acted as a priest. He ratified the covenant with blood. We read in verse 16 that the people didn't want to hear in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. The people didn't want to have a direct conversation with God anymore. So they wanted Moses to be their in-between. And we will get to that here in a moment too. In Exodus 24, verses 7 and 8, And Moses did this, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, All that the Lord hath said we will do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you, concerning all these words. That was the ratification that both parties agreed to that covenant. Moses ratified it. Let's look in regards to verse 16 at Exodus 20. This is when God gave the children of Israel the law. And in verse 18 of Exodus 20, And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. They wanted him to be their go-between. Well, let's turn to Exodus 32. Moses interceded for them. This is when Moses came down and he saw what was going on. Exodus 32, it will begin with the 7th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now listen to the Lord's reaction. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, or be finished with them, and I will make of thee a great nation." God was upset. But what does we can read in verses 11 to 14? Moses was concerned with God's reputation here. He didn't want God to act in the way that God felt like acting. We notice in verse 11, "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" Moses here is concerned with God, not the nation Israel. But Moses did intercede down here in verse 30 of this same chapter. Moses did intercede. He laid his life on the line, you might say, for this nation. "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." What did the high priest do once a year? Made atonement. Moses here, acting as a priest, went up to make atonement for their sin. Verse 31, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." Moses laid himself on the line for them as the high priest when he went into the holy place once a year on the great day of atonement. He went in by himself. He didn't know whether he'd be accepted or not, but he did, and he made atonement. They rolled the sins ahead for 1 year, looking forward to Jesus. Yes, a mediator. Moses also, and we read that in Exodus, and we read in Hebrews 11, 2, that Moses was their leader. He was as a king to this children of Israel, this nation of Israel. But it was by faith. We read in Hebrews 11, by faith they crossed that Red Sea. It wasn't anything Moses had in himself. It was all through faith, or by faith. And we'll see Moses was called faithful to God. Let's turn to Numbers 12. Moses was being called into question in Numbers 12 by his very own family. But God stood up for Moses and he defended him. Numbers 12 and the second verse. "And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and to Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle." Remember who qualified Moses. It was no man. It was God. "And the Lord came down," in verse 5, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, or face to face, even plainly, and not in riddles. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" He was called into question, but God defended him. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 34. See what natural man can take upon themselves. She got leprosy. Teach you to buck up against God. Deuteronomy 34, and we're going to read verses 5 to 7. "Now this is this man that was a type of Christ as a prophet, priest, and king, who God qualified. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated." Now I would like to read verses 10 to 12. "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Remember, where was Moses seen? On the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord honored Moses. He is a type of those that will be resurrected when Jesus returns. No, he fumed over that body in Jude, didn't he? In verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Moses was resurrected because we see him in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus and Elijah were there. Elijah was there too. Verse 19 of chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. We'll read this again. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words. Now this is Jehovah speaking. This isn't just the common ordinary man walking on the street. This is the God of the universe, God the Father, Jehovah. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name. And we read those in John. Every word that Jesus spoke, God gave him to speak. Nothing of himself, but everything that God gave him to speak. I will require it of him. Now man today, man from the beginning of time has been left out with left. Man has not, I'll get it out here in a minute. Man is not left without excuse. On earth today, any man that has been born on this earth, none of them can say that they're ignorant because the Holy Spirit has been there. God's word is holy, it's just, and it's good, and it should be heeded because it is life. Without it, there is only death. To oppose or to reject any part of God's word is a serious matter. Let's look at Acts 3. If we do not believe God's word, it is God's word. God's word is final. Acts 3, and I would like to read verse 23. We read 22 earlier, but we're going to read verse 23 now. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Let's turn to Hebrews 2. God does not take it lightly. Hebrews 2, and I would like to begin with the first verse. Paul speaking to the Hebrew Christians, speaking to us, because we're strangers and pilgrims going through this strange place. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's look at chapter 10, 29. We'll begin with the 28th verse. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite or insulted unto the Spirit of grace. Let's look at 12:25 of Hebrews. Hebrews 12:25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now let's look at verses 20 to 22 in the remainder of Deuteronomy 18. We have true prophets, and now we're going to see false prophets. But the prophet which shall presume, and this word presume here means to act insolently or proudly, and those are both attributes of the old creation. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Act insolently or proudly. And then verse 21, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Verse 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Again, that means spoken in arrogance. Again, an attribute of the old creation. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Here Moses outlines the test of a prophet's validity. False prophets, they pretended to be divinely inspired. Oh, they suppose to speak in the name of the Lord. They say things that please the ears of the people. They speak with soft words. They don't give them truth. The truth cuts. It says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. A sharp sword cuts. This is what this word does when we take it in and we allow it to work in our lives. It begins to cut. And yes, it hurts the flesh, but it's necessary. A false prophet will, oh, soothing words. We don't want to hurt your feelings. Well, let's turn to Jeremiah 14. Thank the Lord that we can allow this word to work in our lives and to cut away the appendages and the garbage that needs to be cut away. We'll begin with the 14th verse, Jeremiah 14:14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I send them not. Yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Let's turn back to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, and we'll begin with the 8th verse. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get ye out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, or a high wall with a flaw in it that is ready to fall on the people, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. He shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessels that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Let's look at what God thinks of false prophets, as well as those that listened to him in Jeremiah 23. The reference that I have is from 25 to 40, which would be very profitable to read. What we're going to read is in verse 30 and down a ways. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words from everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness, or their deceit. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, who hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken. And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, who hath the Lord answered thee, and who hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say, the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. God does not take false prophets and those that listen to false prophets lightly. Mm-hmm.